At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Off the ball. GAA.
How do you mark someone like O'Donnell?
Well, it's hard with so many cameras around now.
Off the ball. GAA. Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line. Try for Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78 Munster podcast for Munster fans. My name is Rory O'Hagan, joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes to talk about another cracking win for the Reds in South Africa. That's 2 from 2 on that tour. We'll also look ahead to the Connacht game and plenty more besides. But more importantly, first off, congratulations to Fiona Hayes, AIL champions with UL Bose. Fiona, massive congrats, buddy. How are you? How are you feeling? How have the celebrations been?
The celebrations have
She's
been too
bits.
Good, Rory. I am in bits, I'm not going to lie. I'm not able for, to keep up with these young ones. I was great at my head today, but it's just made me realise as a coach I've lost that ability. But look, brilliant weekend. It was a good game for, I think if anyone watched it, it was a good attacking game. Defensively, probably 11 kills, but, but in general, it was just really enjoyable day. They absolutely loved the buzz of the Viva and brilliant to get the win. So we done the double this year, the cup and the IL, so delighted with how it went.
Yeah, 48-38 against Railway Union is how it finished. Chisa Mugweru scoring a hat-trick as well, an incredible performance from her.
Oh, she's such a talent. If anyone saw even the interview afterwards, she's full of energy. She's just brilliant to have around the squad, and she was immense. But that it's those players, you know, those players you back. She's been away at Ireland camp, so we hadn't seen her for a good couple of weeks, and you know, she came straight into the starting lineup because she's the ability to rip teams apart, and she done good for us. Some beautiful try scored. Her speed is unbelievable to watch.
So when will the celebrations finish, or will they finish?
I don't know. I thought they'd finish after 2 days in Limerick, but they've continued to Portugal. We'll see. Hopefully, the end of this week, I'll be able to take a rest, because I say I'm going to sleep for about 4 days. As I said, I'm not able.
Huge congratulations, Fiona, and huge congratulations to all at UL Bose after that win as well. I have to mention Cor Conn as well, winning the men's AIL after a great win over Terranure, 33-22. And what was a great day at the Aviva Stadium. Fiona, actually, how important was it for your game to be played at the Aviva Stadium? It was the first time that the fans were played as a doubleheader there.
Yeah, it was huge. And even in the pre-match beach in those dressing rooms, you could just see the excitement on the girls' faces. It was brilliant. The pitch, the surface, everything about it, the whole day, how the IRFU ran it, it just made them feel really important. And you know, I think that's good for the women's game to experience that. I was lucky to be on the only Irish women's team to play in the Viva, so I was on that team against Italy, and I remember it was just such occasion. But for these girls at AIL level, they got a taste of what it's like to move up that path to Munster and then move up to Ireland if that's the direction they want to go, and playing in stadiums like that is just incredible. And look, there was a good old crowd from Bose there as well. I wouldn't say we sold it out, but there was a good crowd up, and definitely just the whole occasion. And thank God we were blessed with the weather, so some excellent rugby on show from both games, men's and women's.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic stuff indeed. And the Irish women's team as well, guys, fantastic win for them, and a decent Six Nations as well all around.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. I was going to say, on Fiona's success, my advice to her would be step down now while you're at the top. You're at the top of the hill now. It's the only way is down.
I don't want to go full Jurgen Klopp. No.
But, you know, on the women's team, it was brilliant, because what happened against Italy or England the week before was really demoralising for them. You know, I was speaking on Off the Ball about the match afterwards, pre and post that women's game, and few people giving comments, so you got to criticise them more a little bit. And look, of course, when you play in a national team and you get a big beating, you know, you have to come in for some criticism, but putting it all in perspective and the level, and Fiona will know this better than me, the level that England are at. Ireland have improved, and we've seen that improvement with two great wins. It should have been three wins, because I think they should have beaten Italy as well. But there's a level above, and England are just after getting better themselves, stronger, fitter, more athletic, more development, all that kind of stuff. So at the start of this competition, I think if you were given Ireland finished third and qualified for next World Cup, everybody would have taken their hands off. So I think this, the win against Scotland was obviously, it was hard fought. Scotland themselves are a decent, very good side, and they're a strong physical side. So I think for the women to grind out a result, given what happened the week before in Twickenham, I think it was incredible. So they've achieved a brilliant goal of qualifying for the World Cup, you know, the disappointment after the last one. So, you know, the criticism has to be balanced. Do they need to get better? Of course. But has there been vast improvement? I think there has. I'm amazed by their skill set. I think the team is still a little bit underpowered and maybe physically need to develop more, but that comes with the conditioning and, you know, players being able to train full time, all that kind of stuff. So I think it was an amazing result for them. And at the end of the day, they should celebrate and really enjoy that they beat Scotland number one, but also they qualified for the World Cup. So it's brilliant.
Absolutely fantastic stuff indeed. And it was a brilliant weekend from Munster as well, with a superb win over the Lions. We're going to get into that in depth over the course of the next half hour or so. But Fiona Hayes, plenty of comments coming into us on the show this week, and a lot of happy Munster fans. And why shouldn't they be? Two top-notch wins in South Africa.
Is she fit to read them out now, or do you want me to?
We'll find out. Let's see.
Can you see the comments?
Let's see. Of course I can, Quinny. Don't be rude now. thanks again, everyone, for sending them in. It's great to hear your thoughts. I think the biggest thing we from this week was a lot of people are just delighted with the power off the bench. If Peter O'Flynn has squad depth, power on bench, Toombs could be more serious option off bench for Ireland, is what he got from that. Richard Daly had noticeable game plan per game that was not only stuck but enforced. Munster of old, if you like. It's bloody great to see. Helena Close had huge improvement. A decent bench makes all the difference. Ken Dennon noticeably gaining confidence. Lovely player. Coombs off the bench is like a man possessed. Great team playing as a unit. Paddy also had full team and all playing well. Scrum, line out, kicks, tackling, line speed, decision, breakdown, passing, confidence. Lads all moving up a gear. Archer Murray, Jack O'Donoghue, Ken Dellen, all look different players. Benches is absolutely savage. And Arch Staunton was another one. Helps having a few more players this impact off the bench has been immense. Good to see the squad able to dig deep again at the business end of the season, real character building. And that was something you touched on as well, Quinny, wasn't it? That those tours and how it builds characters, we've seen it again this year.
Yeah, it's galvanised them, I think. And, it's phenomenal to get 10 points from two games. And they look like they've been able to work on things. They've sharpened up on their skill set. They look like they have a clear understanding of what they're trying to do. Really well connected in defence. I will go through the stats in a few minutes. They did miss 21 tackles, but by and large, they just shut the lines down, and they had some clean line breaks. They have some very, very good players. Noamba, the out half, he's a very small guy, but so electric and quick. Marius Lowe in the centre, really powerful, quick player as well. And to be honest, I looking at the Lions team, and I spoke about it last week, they're a very, very detailed team, and they like to attack, and their attack shape is really good. So their ambition a lot was to try and, you know, obviously hit a couple of forwards up, but get width, keep variety on it, keep pace in the game. And I thought Munster hung in so well. And you talk about the galvanising effect of you've got to be buzzing as a team to defend like that, and to defend the way Munster did. Now, the altitude, I thought the second half, the quicksand was coming out. There was a lot of fellas from both sides. The legs were looking very leggy, and Munster were hanging on. But I think the benefit of it's exactly what this Munster team needed, to get away, work on stuff together, have some fun, and get a bit of togetherness, because there's been so many different teams we've seen this year with all the injuries, and it's definitely had an effect. So I think a lot of the people tweeting are kind of mentioning the same stuff. Obviously, the injuries coming back, the players coming back, but getting a settled team, you know, there's only one change, was this Nankyville. Sean O'Brien was in from Nankyville. And John Hodden was off the bench. So minimal changes, and being able to still have that impact off the bench was really good.
Fantastic stuff, yeah. Is that all the comments, Fiona? We done?
It was very interesting as well. I can't remember who said it, but I remember reading it, and they were saying we should build move Tobin Park to the top of altitude, because we seem to be playing unbelievable over there. And I just thought it was a good one, because our record winning over in South Africa 5 times unbeaten is so good. Yeah. And, you know, I suppose we weren't, even when they were going, we thought maybe they could come away with a win, and see, we would have been delighted with that. And just watching the performance was unbelievable.
What else?
That was Enda Lynch who said that. It was a good point, yeah. Move it up to Karen Toole, but move Tobin Park to the top, Karen Toole, and we'd be unbeatable. look, everybody's making comments just about the improvement, the reality of the bench, players probably feeling, South Africa themselves, and Rassie Erasmus and Jack Nienenberg were the ones that kind of, you know, really highlighted the fact of the impact of the bench in modern day rugby, and they've utilized it better than anybody. They have more power and physicality, but you know, where Munster were and where they are now, and they're still missing a number of players when you think of Dave Kilcoyne, John Klein, Dermot Barron, Edmund Adogbo. It would be incredible if you get them back a bit available, Roman Salanoa. So there's still a number of players not available, but to be able to have the profile of the player that they have and the energy, and plus it's a dry ground, and I think we've spoken about Munster's attack. Getting into the game in more detail in a minute, physically up front, Munster have really improved and being able to deal with that power and that aggression, particularly around the breakdown. 2 maul tries at the weekend. How many times in this podcast have we spoke about having no impact in our maul? Mm-hmm. Those 2 tries gave us a bonus point at the weekend. You know, the Jack O'Donoghue one. But it also, you sense now that Munster feel they're, you know, is it a coaching thing? Is it a technical thing? Or is it actually a power thing? I think the vast majority of it is just having the profile of experience, strength, and actually having that bit of power to be able to execute your maul. You know, you can be technically brilliant, but if you're not on very, very underpowered, it's difficult, you know. And Munster struggled with their maul all season. And I think we saw a pattern of a period of time there, obviously around that December, January period, of teams, you know, knowing that they can stop Munster's maul and then kind of try and shut down the attack, which has been Munster's biggest strength, the way they play. It's been fantastic, and it's been great to see. The question I kind of asked in, is it a sign of things to come? Are we in the mix now? I was a little bit more of the, you know, can Munster back it up? But it was an incredible performance. It was a performance of not having a lot of ball and actually looking, even that they didn't have a lot of territory possession, they looked comfortable. You just felt that they were nudging away at that scoreboard early on. Jack Crowley's penalties were superb, and defensively very strong. They didn't give the Lions, you know, early on after a couple of penalties, the Lions, you know, they get down there, they have a couple of 5-yard mauls, and Munster end up stopping them. I think Ty Byrne got a brilliant turnover at one stage as well. So they look like a team who believe in themselves, a lot more confidence. Mm. But it was a really good 2 weeks for them, and lots of standout performances.
It certainly was. We'll get into the start of the week, maybe a little bit later. But Fiona, this was a Lions team that put 40 plus points up on Leinster the week before. So looking at this Munster performance, what really stood out for you and how they approached the game?
Yeah, look, I just thought they did the right things in the right area. I was looking at the stats, and even before I was able to watch the game, because I was in studio covering the women's work, and I remember thinking, if you just looked at those stats alone and you had to pick a winner, you would pick the Lions. Possession territory was high. Munster had a higher missed tackle count. I think the Lions only missed 7 tackles. They only had to make 58 tackles. So it was just, when you look at that, but when you saw the game and I watched it back, it was a totally different story. Munster had a game plan. I thought their kicking was brilliant. It was just, you know, I spoke about those defensive moments as well, or, you know, missed tackles. But this team have the ability to do that, but still you come away from the game and think, wow, they were excellent defensively. So even in that second half, I thought they were absolutely superb in trying to keep the Lions out. They came really after them. The skill set of players just showed, you know, their want to win that game. Zeebo, we'll talk later about Zeebo, that flick through for the try. I mean, that's the man of all. It's just so exciting to watch Crowley. Every game he's playing, he's controlling it. And as Quinny spoke, the maul, the line out, the changes at scrum time, Jaeger coming on for Archer, Witcherly coming on. These aren't changing up how Munster are playing. Whereas earlier in the season, you'd be worried, are we going to give away a couple of scrum penalties here? Are we going to go backwards? Is the line out, is there going to be issues with the line out? But they've sorted all that out and they seem to have the perfect balance at the minute with the guys playing. And as you said, coming off the bench. And I'm sure Coombs doesn't want to be starting on the bench at all. But what he's done is he's been absolutely so impactful when he's come up. And we've talked on the pod, Rory, as well about how much he's been used in the season, probably because of injuries. So to see him be able to get that rest, know that maybe he has 20, 25 minutes unless something goes wrong, and come out absolutely all guns blazing, it's just brilliant to watch. The same with Thomas Ahern getting on the pitch, and Hadnett, we saw it the week before. So yes, it's that bench, but I also think it's that want to play and dominating in the right areas at maul time, at line-out time. Really, against South African teams, they just really put it up to them, and the scores came at the most perfect moments. And the balance of the game, when you watch it back, you never thought Munster would have lost that game. They just looked completely in control from start to finish.
Yeah, fantastic to see it. All right. And Quinn, you kind of touched on it there earlier when Jack Crowley put a couple of penalties up early to put us into a 9-0 lead early on. The Lions had a couple of penalties in Munster territory that they kicked for the corner, but Munster's defence really stood up.
Yeah, it did. And I think, you know, like I said, there was a period of time during this season that you felt when teams got 5 metres out, got them all going, and that they were going to overpower Munster and score. And they did. And in fairness, you know, they've obviously worked in that defence, particularly in the maul. They gave away a couple of penalties. I thought at one point that there was going to be a yellow card coming, but they stopped them and they frustrated them, and they really muscled up, which was it was important because, you know, you talk about a statement winning against the Bulls, and I think this was it. You can create this bond amongst yourselves that, you know, an energy around defence, and you're looking around. I think that I saw at one stage, obviously being at the game and being close to the sideline, I saw Calvin Nash coming off the wing and shut down the Lions' attack. They were trying to move the ball out. He comes in a similar type one to the one over in Twickenham when he got a kind of he got hit in the neck, in the head, and he was knocked out and he was concussed. And he's very good at making that read and coming in off the touchline. He comes in off the touchline. He just shuts down their attack brilliantly. They knock the ball on the next phase. And I see RG Snyman just coming over with a big smile on his face, high-fiving him, acknowledging that appreciation that his fellow teammates have really noticed this moment where he's just smashed somebody. Loads of moments like that. Their discipline the week before against the Bulls was, you know, they gave away 6 penalties. The 14 penalties given away here, that would be something that maybe they need to be a bit more careful. They could have been punished a little bit more. Like I said, there could have been a yellow card for some of the penalties that they gave away in quick succession around that 5 metre lineouts that the Lions were attacking. But there seems to be a little bit of an energy and a zip in the way they're defending. So they deserve a lot of credit for that. If you look at the stats, Rory, it's kind of role reversal because, you know, Munster have had a lot of possession in a lot of games this year and they haven't capitalized, and the opposition have struck at the right times and then just sat back and said, well, come at us. You're not going to run around us because we're going to keep loads of bodies on our feet. You're not going to maul us. You're not going to force us back into scrum. And, you know, we can just absorb all this pressure.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the full episode where we name our star of the week and we look ahead to the season's running, become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off The Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.